And welcome back to KPFK's Access Unlimited, the disability awareness show for people born in the know, or the know, I'll get it right, yeah. Or those that arrive there accidentally. And we are broadcasting on 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, and wonderful 99.5 Ridgecrest China Lake.
So the 93.5 people in San Diego are hearing this right now.
Absolutely.
Your
yeah.
hometown yep. is this conference's hometown now. That's
right.
Fantastic.
That's it. And we have a few new guests, and why don't we introduce them?
This might be a good time to review all of the bios, including our guests that we've been speaking with, Sandy Ploten. Sandy grew up in the East Coast in New Jersey and graduated from Northeastern University in Boston. And after that, moving to Los Angeles, she worked in meeting planning and trade show coordination and association management, which led her directly into the managing of summer conferences for 10 years at the University of Southern California. I think I've heard of that. I think I've heard of that place, yeah. And she also held the position of Assistant Director of Housing at USC. Sandy assumed the position of Managing Director of the Center on Disabilities at California State University Northridge in June of 2005. Her responsibilities include management of the annual international applications, International Technology and Persons with Disabilities Conference at the Center's training programs, including assistive technology. Certificated program. She also served as co-director of California Assistive Technology Exchange, a California Department of Rehabilitation interagency agreement co-managed at the Center on Disabilities and the National Center on Deafness at California State University Northridge. You manage to do things all 24 hours per day, right?
Amazing.
Yes, I do. And, you know, can I do a shout-out to my daughter?
Sure.
Like, I'm going to shout-out my daughter, who's a psychology major at USC, Henry. So
mm-hmm.
I think she's probably taken one of your classes.
Well, I haven't been in the psychology department in many, many years. But
much to our chagrin.
Yes. And I do see students regularly. Our new guests that are coming on right now is Ricky Enger, who serves as operations manager and enterprise salesperson for Cerotech Corporation.
Cerotech.
Okay. She is also the co-host of Cerotalk podcast at www.cerotalk.com. In each of her roles, Ricky aims to educate the blind and sighted communities about existing assistive and mainstream technology to improve quality of life. Welcome to Access Unlimited, Ricky.
And good to be here.
Good to have you. And with Ricky is Michael Lauf, co-host of Cerotalk podcast, covering the latest... Cerotalk.
Michael Lauf.
Yes. That's what he's
saying. Right. Covering the latest access technology news online at www.cerotalk.com and is the content director for the Cerotech Corporation, creators of System Access Screen Reader and System Access Mobile Network with thousands of online resources. So welcome to Access Unlimited.
Yeah, welcome one and all.
Let's start with a question for Michael, which would probably be, what is Cerotech? Where does the name come from? And if you could tell us a little bit about the goals of the company.
Well, Cero, S-E-R-O, is Spanish meaning to connect. So it's connected technologies.
Uh-huh.
There you go. And, you know, it's just absolutely wonderful the kind of accomplishments that have gone on. There is a application called iBlink Radio that is so much more than an application about radio. It is, in fact, one of the wonderful things about the application is there's a place that has audio tutorials and interviews. And if you go to that little spot, you can also, and one thing I did in preparing time for this, was go over the 2010 interviews for the CSUN conference. They're all there, people. It is absolutely wonderful. And so that kind of catches you up to the people to look for and make sure if you missed them last year to get in touch with them this year. So I want to suggest, again, not only getting the CSUN app for the conference, but also getting that app as well. It's going to make a big, big difference to you. So could you talk to us a little bit about some of the things that are coming up for you guys? I know there are a lot of different advances. You do things with books and stuff. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
I'll jump in here and take that. And first, I just wanted to say, as Michael mentioned, with Cerotech, Cero does mean connected, and T-E-K for technology. We had to spell it in some out-of-the-box way. But in everything that we do, the mission always remains the same. The way that we accomplish that gets a little different from day to day. But what we're always trying to do is keep that connection, keep people connected to information and to each other. So in terms of what we're going to be showcasing at CSUN, we do have SAMNet, which is an online community, and Michael will perhaps talk about that in a bit. One of the new things that we're doing is called DocuScan Plus, and this is a scanning solution which can be paired with a flatbed scanner or with a very portable document camera, which we're going to be showing during the show, or you can get your PDFs and not have to worry about opening those in Adobe Reader and worry about, did somebody just sort of scan an image and there's no text in this thing or what? So with DocuScan Plus, you can scan all of those things, including textbooks, even menus at a restaurant if you've got your handy document camera with you. And these things are stored in the cloud such that if you've scanned something in the library, you don't have to worry about saving it to a thumb drive or what have you. You can then go home to your own computer and access the documents that you've previously scanned. So you can be anywhere. You can access the application from anywhere, whether it's through a website or through an installed copy. And you can, again, access the material that you've previously scanned, save it into whatever formats you like, and not have to worry about, hey, did I bring that document with me or not?
So, Sandy, this means that this is a system that applies to people who are deaf as well as blind.
Yes, I guess so. Just it's Cerotech's time, so I'll let Ricky talk about it.
And, you know, it is really wonderful the way, again, the application, that iBank radio application, it calls itself radio, but it is so much more because there are podcasts from all different places, all different kinds of groups and things like that there as well. Explore it. There's community radio there. There's also a lot about the different radio reading services. And of course, there are those wonderful tutorials also that help all with my iPhone, can teach you great things about the iPhone, and just an absolutely wonderful exploration kind of SAMNet. So maybe you could, Michael, could talk a little bit about what is SAMNet?
Okay, well, let me back up a little bit because you did mention the deaf, so also concerned about the deaf and the deaf blind. We have a product called Accessible Event, which makes meetings and webinars and special information accessible to the blind, deaf, and deaf-blind community. Mm-hmm. So that could be college courses, government meetings, corporate meetings. And we also, so it can be in the cloud where you can view it from anywhere in the world or have it locally hosted so that only your prospective employees can catch the materials. As far as the iBlink radio, that is right for the iPhone application, you know, iPod Touch and so forth, iPad. And that is free, and the community radio, which are all radio stations owned by or operated by blind and visually impaired individuals, and there's a number of those, and as you said, 30 radio reading services, every known podcast created by the blind or of interest to the blind, although we don't have Accessibility Unlimited, but we will get that resolved very shortly.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
We're always finding more every day or every week, and people are contacting us saying, hey, can we get our content added?
So and with audio description, too. Tell us a little bit about, I know there's, Sandy had been mentioning in the first half about the new legislation with descriptive video. You want to talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, there was the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act, And the FCC has just come down with some guidelines to get television stations to return to offering descriptive video content. And WGBH in Boston has just conducted a survey to ask people about their preferences for having synthetic speech to use, listen to, and maybe even watch described content online. So we're finally seeing, many years after its inception, maybe soon the ability to actually watch and or listen to TV shows and movies with description online, but also restore it to television stations. Now, there's some specific limitations, like for TV, the top 25 markets, which is great for folks in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, and St. Louis.
Well, KCET is no longer a part of the public broadcasting system. They've become independent. I did write to Al Jarreau, their CEO, to make sure that he was aware that that act had been implemented. And, again, I want people to recognize that you, too, can write to people if you're interested in audio description. Go online to kcet.org and make sure that they understand that it is an important thing for you. This is our community, and we have to speak up.
And now on KCET, you get to put up with hamburger commercials. It's really wonderful.
Okay? Oh, really?
And again, they need to be audio described, I'll tell you that.
I wish someone would fax me a hamburger. Anyway, tomorrow's Ash Wednesday.
There you go.
Anyway, if you do we do the announcement, the ID?
We have about three more minutes, and I wanted to ask somebody during this great discussion mentioned online communities. Could Mike, you want to take a shot at that?
Yeah, because you asked about SAMNet, and that's exactly what SAMNet is an online community with everything from voice chat where people can talk to each other, either via text or in real-time voice conversations. They can play games and just meet other people like themselves and realize they're not alone in the world. It's great for folks who are newly blinded or whatever. There's just a wealth of different topics that go on. We have radio, thousands of radio stations. We have a few thousand recipes up there. We figure we have a recipe for every day of the rest of your life. There's different TV shows and movies and material that's available online. So,
and that's called again?
It's called SAMNet. That's an acronym.
SAMNet. S-A-M?
It's an Access Mobile Network. Yes, S-A-M-N-E-T.
Okay. Okay.
And so that's all. You can really go set up that as well as play with our screen reader called System Access, and all over at satogo.com. That's SATOGO.com. Do a 7-day trial of everything and put it through its paces and see if it's going to meet your needs.
So I think one of the best things about SAMNet is that it's much like attending a CSUN conference in that you always have people who are learning from each other, people at different experience levels, and people who are maybe a little bit terrified of technology can come in and watch people who are using it and just ask questions or watch other people ask questions. That happens a lot in voice chats and users forums. And so you really then end up seeing people who began, complete newbies, for a lack of a better word, and they were a little bit afraid of taking that first step into modern technology, and a little while later, they're the people helping the new folks coming in, so it's really nice to watch that.
And I noticed that on Tuesday, all day, there will be a pre-conference workshop, in which there will be an overview of assistive technology where, in fact, it's for beginners. Welcome to a presentation of on all types of AT. The workshop includes a discussion of the variety of technology offered in the conference's exhibit hall.
And before you have any comments to make on that, I want to remind our listeners that you are, in fact, listening to KPFK's Access Unlimited on 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 down in wonderful San Diego, where you're about to have the CSUN conference, and 99.5 Ridgecrest, China Lake.
So, Michael, I want to ask you if you could name the interview that you'd like to have be part of next year's tutorials and interviews. What are some of the interviews you're really interested in doing at the conference?
Well, what we do is, we have a website, Serotalk, serotalk.com, and what we do is try to grab as many interviews from CSUN and even the ATIA in Florida and just other special events as we can And then we do a biweekly podcast because our objective is to let people know of different assistive technologies, the costs. You know, we like to get product reviews. We also do the latest access technology news and all that at SerialTalk.com. So as far as specific interviews, it's hard to gauge because it's a matter of who you can catch up with. Our users certainly like new products, new developments based on legislation or innovations from private industry. So we like
13548 seems really important to me. Would be something to keep track of. And oh, Kareem Dale, that would be a fabulous interview.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great. Yeah, if we could land that, if not at the event, maybe post. But that would be great. There's always concern because most people I know who are blind, visually impaired, working for the government, there's a lot of dissension, a lot of discrimination from their managers. So it'll be interesting to see the success with this, because you're going to have to get some change of attitudes of those in the decision-making process in government. So I hope they're successful, and we'll certainly do anything we can to educate potential employees of new work opportunities. And
hey, Mike, I know that, in fact, the one and only Jolie Mason is going to be there, and she does a wonderful interview, okay?
Yeah.
And I think I can line it up for you, okay?
Yeah. Oh, I would love to be on your podcast. That would be so cool. And I'm such a newbie, by the way, with Twitter. I didn't even know how to spell the word newbie, so you got to catch me up on Twitter.
Jolie, I'd like to
jump in. It's Sandy. Yep. I just want to let you know that come to the tweet up on Thursday night then. Because that's going to be a fantastic event for everybody, and we still have our contest open for Name the Band, and we're giving out a free registration for next year. So if you want to tweet, you can tweet away Thursday night at our tweet up.
All right, there you go.
You know, we're
is that before or after the Irish coffee?
We're talking about all this.
Yeah.
Let me hear. Jolie, I started to ask you, tell us about the session that you're going to have on Friday.
Oh, you know, I was fortunate enough over this last summer to participate. This was in Second Life. A woman was getting her PhD on the idea of how to make the accessible classroom, and I was asked to participate in the orientation where guide dog users, and there is a wonderful presentation about that experience on Friday at 10. Boy, I better get the time on that right. And it's very interesting. Anybody who has gotten a first guide dog recognizes that you have to do things much more quickly with the dog than you might have with a white cane, and so there's a lot of orientation that has to happen where you have to understand compass directions, heading, that kind of thing. A really great way to practice that is with a virtual guide dog. And so the team of people, Charles Morris and Janeth and I worked, and of course Christine Chaikin, yay, techie, worked on putting together a system where you could not only make Second Life accessible, but also fun. So this is a guide dog at last that can type and talk and all kinds of great things like that. And there's a game that you play, a scenario in a gold mine, where you go through and learn about how to explore your environment as a person who's blind using a guide dog.
And that's, again, it's on Friday?
Friday morning at 10 a.m.
And there you go. And listen, you know, one of the things that we...
And, in fact, you can come and meet Louise Nicholson in person. She's
there
going
go.
To be there, our magnificent producer. Yay!
They're a sister act. I got
that's right, okay. Absolutely.
And, you know, we many times we talk about technology for the deaf and the blind and the physically disabled and everything. But one thing, and I'd like all three of you to comment on this if possible, so much of this assistive technology helps people that don't have disabilities, okay?
Right.
And makes it easier for them to use, different technologies. It makes it almost intuitive. And so, you know, I'm happy that it helps all of my disabled brothers and sisters. But really, assistive technology is for everyone.
Right.
Do you agree with that proposition or not, Sandy?
I agree totally, especially as... Again, we don't want to talk about our age, but as we get older, we're all going to need assistive technology.
Yep.
So whether you have a disability or not, assistive technology is just something that's going to help you with your daily life no matter what your situation is. So whether you have a disability or you're aging with a disability or you require a disability, we want to make sure that we capture our entire audience, and we don't want to leave out our seniors because they're a very important part of this.
Do you agree, Mike and Ricky?
Oh, definitely. We at Cerotech and Cerotalk promote mainstream accessibility. That's why we were such supporters of the iPhone, the built-in accessibility. It's there for everyone. All people can benefit from it. I mean, that's the way we need to go. We're certainly trying to establish even better rapport and open dialogue with Google to make enhancements to their API so that all the Android phones can be more accessible, so that our dream is a vision of a day when our company's not even needed anymore because access technology is built into the mainstream products and we as blind and folks with other disabilities don't have to pay 1 cent more than everyone else to use the product.
Well, join me in advocating for the idea of actually making the device truly accessible with the same gestures and set up for people who are disabled as well as people who are non-disabled. It is a great frustration to me with the iPhone and the people at Apple who, when they decided to implement VoiceOver, for some reason decided to have an entirely different set of gestures.
Oh.
We didn't need them. Separate is not equal.
Come on, reinvent the wheel around here, okay? That's our job.
But I do, I am in love with my iPhone, and that is true, but it would be really nice in seeing the Android system just not make not go down that path to begin with, and actually make it truly universal access.
I was going to echo that, Joey. Let's all push for universal design.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Exactly. Yeah. You mentioned Amazon earlier, or you mentioned books earlier, and I wanted to mention that because that's a big, and Ricky could comment. She's been very proactive. We've been really pushing to make sure that the Kindle, either the hardware and even the software now for the computer, provides full access to the books. Is there school districts that are wanting to go to using devices rather than actual books that... Not that we can just hear the audio and synthetic speech, but that we can navigate it and move by word and by character so we can see how things are spelled. And Ricky's been very proactive on that front.
Yeah, and I definitely see a lot of progress in terms of access to books, even just within the last 2 years. There are some things. There's one resource called Course Smart, which is for textbooks specifically. And you're able to purchase and download your textbooks as e-books, and they have a sort of proprietary reader, which is still fully accessible and allows you to do, just as Michael said, where you're able to review by character and by word so that you can look at the math equation or you can see how something is spelled rather than just getting that information audibly. Amazon has made some progress with the Kindle. 2 years ago, we really had nothing, and now both on the device itself and with the PC, you can certainly buy and read books, but there's still a little ways to go in that you can't review these things, so you're really just getting audio content without the ability to, kind of fine-tune things. But with all that said, again, I think we're making a lot of progress, and I expect to see that continue. It's an exciting time to be a student.
Yeah, there may be a problem with gradation, just as you say, where not everything is in the underlying DAISY, the smile format and stuff like that. But, Audible now has an app out. RFB&D has an app. I think there really is going to be a real push in students being able to get textbooks and things like that at the same time everybody else in the class has them.
Sandy, I want to ask you to take just one minute and talk about Cal State University at Northridge and why it is so internationally renowned, and then also give us that information again for the upcoming conference.
Of course. Well, we have probably one of the largest populations of students with disabilities on our campus, and my sister department, Disability Resources for Educational Services, has been had a long history of helping our students with disabilities navigate through their course materials and everything they need. And the CSU system in general has made a pretty big effort in the last few years to have accessible technology through their Accessible Technology Initiative, have all the course materials from the faculty be accessible and available online.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a pretty intensive effort, and it's still in the works, but I think they're making success with it. But we do have a long history of helping students, and we continue to. And one of the reasons is is the campus alone is very accessible for students with disabilities, and that's why people come to Cal State Northridge.
Right. And in the last minute we have, could you tell us about the conference, the details?
The who, what,
when,
where?
Again, we will be in San Diego, yay, at the Manchester Grand Hyatt, March 14th through 19th. Don't forget to check out the website, www.csunconference.org, and you can find everything you want on the website. Download the program, download it to your smartphone. Everything is updated as fast as we can. Things are changing so much.
And could you tell us one thing which we did not discuss, and that is saving a seat for a session?
Oh, saving a seat for a session? It's just basically to help us make sure that there's enough space in the session that you want. So you can go online, click on the session you want, save a seat, and you're guaranteed a space. If the session fills up and we have room, we'll move it to make sure that there's enough room for everybody who wants to attend, because we probably have one of the biggest programs we've had in years and probably one of the most important
people
issues.
Don't worry.
Thank you.
If you didn't get all of this, go. It's archived. Go to kpfk.org and download the show.
All right. And for the good doctor and Miss Mason, this is Sean Casey O'Brien saying we'll see you next Tuesday at 2 on KPFK's Access Unlimited.